a new topic that's going to be very exciting. And always feel free to contact me on my Instagram at Amayita, Amayita, 808 Mami, Mami. And feel free to send me a message if you have any tunes that you want to hear, or if you have any ideas for topics I could talk about, things you want to hear on here. So again, I hope everyone tuning in has an amazing weekend. Enjoy it, relax, have fun, do what you will, be safe. And thank you so much for tuning in to Grooves and Moods. I'm your host, DJ Maita. I'll catch you all next time.
Swanson.
This week on Talk World Radio, we're talking about the Gaza flotilla and other efforts to aid people in Gaza, as well as ongoing efforts to murder every single person in Gaza. Our guest returning to Talk World Radio is the wonderful Anne Wright, who is a member of the advisory board of World Beyond War, where I work. She's based in Hawaii, is often in Washington, D.C., as now. She is a retired U.S. Army Reserve colonel, 29-year veteran of the Army and Army Reserves, was a diplomat in Nicaragua, Grenada, Somalia, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Sierra Leone, and Micronesia, and Afghanistan, and Mongolia. She received the State Department's Award for Heroism for her actions during the Civil War in Sierra Leone. And she resigned from the State Department March 19th, 2003, in opposition to the war on Iraq. She's the co-author of Dissent, Voices of Conscience, and has numerous other titles and credits, including working to organize an aid flotilla to Gaza yet again. Anne Wright, welcome back to Talk World Radio.
Well, thank you, David. It's great to be with you. And thanks for all you do in World Beyond War and Talk World Radio.
Thank you. And so what is the status and what is the purpose and the goal of actions right now with the Gaza flotilla?
Well, you know, just to give a little history of it, we've been trying to get boats into Gaza to break the illegal Israeli naval blockade of Gaza for over a decade and a half. And in fact, in 2008, five little boats were able to get into Gaza. They brought, the wishes of the world primarily, not much aid or anything like that, but just people who are actually coming by sea into Gaza, which really hadn't been done for 40 years. So, after 2008, though, and the Israeli, CAS-led attack on Gaza, 27 days, killed 1,400 people. Since then, all the boats that we have sailed in 2010, 2011, 2013, 15, 16, 18, and 23 have been stopped by the Israeli military. And if you remember, back in 2010, 14 years ago, the Israeli commandos started shooting from a helicopter onto the top deck of the Mavi Marmara and executed 10 people on board that ship. Over 50 were wounded. I was on a ship right next to the one that was attacked, and people were killed. But every one of the ships were boarded. Each one was boarded by commandos, assaulted people, passengers assaulted, beaten up, tasered. And then we were all arrested, taken against our will to Israel, kidnapped on the high seas in international waters, taken against our will to Israel, put in prison for 3 to 5 days, and then deported. And the deportation is for 10 years. So you can't go back into Israel, West Bank, East Jerusalem for 10 years. So I've done that twice. And so I have a 20-year deportation. It's not that I want to go to Israel, but I would like to go back to the West Bank. So that's the history of it. And then now in these emergency, dire, genocidal conditions that we have with the Israeli military already killing over 33,000 people, 70,000 wounded, 7,000 to 10,000 people buried in the rubble. This emergency flotilla that we have organized will be going in mid-April, and to challenge again the naval blockade of Gaza, and to bring with us a huge cargo ship that has 5,500 tons of humanitarian assistance, medical, food, other types of things. Of course, no weapons, which, of course, the Israelis will accuse us of having weapons and us being terrorists because we dare to challenge the criminal acts that the state of Israel and the United States are doing in the genocide of the people of Gaza.
And this seems a particularly risky effort, given that even the presidential friend, celebrity chef, privatized mini aid effort to replace the serious aid agency of the United Nations had everybody murdered by Israel, to the point where U.S. media outlets suddenly cared about people being murdered. And here you are, peace activists who've been attacked in the past, trying to bring aid into Gaza. What is the likelihood of the Israeli military attacking this flotilla?
Well, you're exactly right. You've described the dangers that we face and the history of what the Israeli military has done to even, you know, the world central kitchen, the great friend of the political elite of the United States and other countries and of Israel. It is dangerous. There's no doubt about it. And we, of course, are telling our participants all of the aspects of it, and they know it because they have been longtime supporters of trying to get Israel to stop its brutal attacks on Israel that have continued forever. I mean, this one right now is the worst for sure, but you know, there have been so many brutal attacks in 2008 and 9, in 2013, in 2014, 2018, 21. I mean, it's not like October 7th, 2023 was the first time that Israelis had brutalized thousands of people in Gaza. And those of us that have really been active in Palestine solidarity groups, and I have been to Gaza 8 times, starting in 2009. I went with Code Pink, Medea Benjamin, and Tighe Berry on just one day going into Gaza because we had seen the destruction on TV in January 2009 and saw, like, this looks like World War II. They just crumbled so many buildings. So we went all the way to Cairo. We zipped across northern Sinai, barely got into Gaza. The Egyptians said, "We'll let you in, but you better get out 24 hours because we're closing the border again. And if we close it and you're inside Gaza, you'll stay until we reopen it, and we don't know when." So we went in, talked to lots of people, 24 hours nonstop, taking pictures, came out, committed to bring organizations and groups into Gaza. And the next year we took six groups, usually 50 to 60 to 70 people into Gaza, so they could meet the people of Gaza, they could see the level of destruction. And then in late 2009, December of 2009, we organized what was called a Gaza Freedom March, where 1,350 people from, I think it was 35 or 40 countries, came all the way to Cairo. And we thought we had arranged with the Egyptian government that we could take people into Gaza. The people in Gaza said, "Fine, we'd love to have you all come visit and see what's going on." But the Egyptian government double-crossed us at the last moment, and we ended up having, we only got 2 busloads of people into Gaza. So the bottom line was that we have been very, very active over, a decade and a half on Palestine solidarity issues. And then in 2010, it was the Gaza flotilla that was attacked. So we do know the dangers. We have seen it. We've seen the history of Israeli violence toward Palestinians primarily, but we've seen it toward internationals. And then 2010, the murder of 10 on on the Marvi Marmara, the wounding of 50, the World Central Kitchen 7. But you know, now the focus is on internationals. When, geez, you know, you're, tens of thousands of Palestinians have been killed, and Joe Biden didn't give one hoot of expression of sympathy toward the 33,000 Palestinians. I mean, this is a very racist policy that the United States has. And that's one of the reasons that we have, probably we're going to have 45 to 50 U.S. citizens that are going to be on this flotilla in mid-April, because we are outraged about what our government's doing. And while every one of these people has been so active in their community, in marches, protests, webinars, you name it, they've done it. And then it's like, what else can we do? Because the Congress is not listening. The White House is not listening, with the exception now that the 7 international aid workers with World Central Kitchen. So it's, this flotilla really is an expression of citizen outrage towards its governments, that the governments won't do nothing. I mean, they won't, they have not tried to really stop Israel at all in any action way. And we citizens are saying, we'll get on a boat and we're going to confront this. And we're just fed up with the impotency, the purposeful, a lack of doing anything to stop a genocide. So yeah, it's dangerous, but we know about it. And those that are on the boat are willing to confront the Israelis, even though we know that they can certainly use lethal power. They can kill us all. They can torpedo the boat. They can do a lot of different things. But we are committed to say we stand with the people of Gaza, and our lives are worth no more than their lives are, and we are willing to confront the Israelis on it.
Wonderfully, beautifully said. Anne Wright, who are a few of the people who are planning to go with you? I think Medea Benjamin from Code Pink and John Ruhr, who's our board member and treasurer at World Beyond War, and one of our interns as well. Who else can you think of who's planning to go?
Yeah, well, Colleen Raleigh, who is you know, an FBI whistleblower from the days of 9/11. We have a large number of activists that are coming from Oakland and Berkeley who have been very, very active in shutting down ports and shutting down highways and all sorts of things. We have people from the Chicago area, from Florida. Most of the names you won't really recognize, because they do their work in the community level rather than on the national level. But they are all so very, very committed to what we're doing. Now, on the other hand, we have 35 countries that are bringing people, and some of them have been able to convince some VIPs from their country, some members of the European Parliament from Spain, a few more high-level folks. Of course, we here in the United States, no way in the world would any of our U.S. congresspeople get on board this boat, although I'm sure Rashida Tlaib will be there in spirit with us. But man, talk about everybody hands off on in the U.S. Congress on anything like this. And in fact, when we came back from an earlier, I think it was probably from 2010, we came back, one of the Congress people said that every American that was on that boat should be put in jail. They're all terrorists. And so I got a little jail jumpsuit and went to the Congress in that jailbird outfit, knocked on the door and said, I'm here. I just like to know why I am the terrorist when you are the one that is supporting the state of Israel as it kills all of these people and killed 10 on the Marvi Marmara. You've killed thousands. Your support for Israel has killed thousands in Gaza and the West Bank. So who's the terrorist? Is it me trying to stop it, or is you funding it? Well, the door slammed shut. on that little tirade.
Well, I would take that as a compliment when they slam that door on you. And I cannot picture a Congress member getting on this ship, but those good people of the Bay Area getting Nancy Pelosi to say that weapons should stop going over there. I just was absolutely floored by that. Not a month, I think, since she was accusing anyone who said that of being in the pay of, sometimes it was Russia, other times it was China. So I don't know who paid her off. I think she actually may have listened to people for once in her life. But, you know, slowly but surely.
You never can tell when any of these protests, when any, going to people's houses, bird dogging them in the Congress, you never know when it is or if it is that something strikes a nerve of conscience in these people. And we don't know that it was the, you know, what triggered Nancy Pelosi to do a 180 on this thing? What triggered Chuck Schumer to do a 180 on it? Other than pressure of their constituents. And both of them have had huge demonstrations in their offices. They've had, they're probably, their telephone lines have burned out because people are calling them all the time and putting the people's pressure on them to say, you are a part of the genocide of Gaza. And if you don't change your ways, you two are going, if there is a hell, they better get an annex ready because there are sure a lot of people that are going to be sitting in that thing for what they've done to allow this genocide to continue. And you think back, you know, this week is the 30th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda, where the world stood by and let 1 million Rwandans kill each other with no one stepping into it. And in Kigali, right now, they're having the commemoration of it. And guess who's sitting there? President Bill Clinton, under whose administration we did nothing. And the president of, get this one, Israel, is sitting there while they commit the genocide on the people of Gaza. It is just unbelievable. And I'm shocked that the Rwandans let those two people even into their country.
And no mention, I'm sure, of the U.S.-backed militarism that led up to that catastrophe or the war in Congo that followed from it and killed more people than any other recent war, or the brutal government of Rwanda that is hosting these people. There's so many awful sides to this story. But I wonder what the status is in Gaza of the need and of the supply. We've heard stories about President Biden demanding that Israel allow in aid and that border with Egypt being opened, supposedly. Is aid coming in by ground? Is it going to? Are they going to keep dropping packages from the sky? And what percentage of the need does that address?
Yeah, well, those are the questions, aren't they? And we are at the mercy of Al Jazeera and a few independent groups that do a coalition of information from groups like Al Jazeera that are actually on the ground. Still, international journalists can only go into Gaza if they go in to accompany Israeli military. So, you know, things like CNN, Fox, all of these groups, they haven't had anybody on the ground unless they're shepherded by the Israeli military. But from what we hear, the minuscule amount of aid, even though yesterday there may have been 100 or 150 trucks that went in, but considering the starvation that's going on there, and on Democracy Now, they're showing the pictures of the skeletons of people that are in the final death throes. They're finally laying down. They're trying to pump some saline into them, and they're skeletons. So the need is tremendous, just tremendous. And even if the aid starts flowing immediately in the quantities that is needed, which is before all of this happened, it was 500 trucks a day needed to go in for the food supply of the 2.3 million people that lived in Gaza. And now, you know, the amount of medical supplies, of supplies to keep people alive as they come out of the starvation thing, because you can't apparently start eating again, that you have to be brought back. Your system can't absorb the types of food. So there's different kinds of packages to bring to starving people to get them back into some reasonable situation. And I don't know the other than they need a lot of it. And our little cargo ship would be just a small drop in the bucket if we can get it in there. But that's what we intend to do. We intend to push this to say, when governments refuse to act and our government dropping food into the ocean. I mean, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my whole life. The numbers of these food packages that have just dropped straight into the ocean and then essentially encouraging Palestinians to go out and drown themselves trying to get those packages. It is just a brutal, nasty thing that the U.S. government is doing, rather than saying to Israel, you open those gates and you open them right now and get that food in there. We're going to cut off diplomatic ties with you. We are going to put a blockade, an economic blockade. I mean, there are so many things that the world could do to Israel right now that would get their attention. Apparently, you know, one angry phone call from Biden over the Central World Kitchen broke open something. But man, there are a lot of things they could do and have to do, because the Israelis are intent on killing as many Palestinians as possible, and particularly the young ones that will grow up to be militants after what they've seen. If any of them survive, you can be guaranteed that they are never, ever going to think kindly of the state of Israel.
It seems to me that the U.S. government could simply stop providing the weapons and simply stop promoting the propaganda and simply stop vetoing the rest of the world at the United Nations. It wouldn't need to do anything good or helpful or decent. Just get the hell out of the way. And this could be resolved fairly swiftly.
Well, I would go one step further. I don't think that's enough. I think for what Israel has done now, that it must suffer the consequences worldwide of this. And I think they should be diplomatically isolated and a blockade, just like was put on South Africa, put on them. I mean, they should, and every one of the senior leadership of that country should be tried as war criminals, just like every senior person, the leadership of the Bush administration should have been put on trial for what they did in Iraq, and everyone of the Biden administration for the complicity that they've had with Israel on the genocide. If all of these war criminals get away with this one more time, I mean, you'll just see another incidents like this where elected politicians don't care. They're willing to sacrifice tens of thousands of people for whatever political gain that they seem to think is appropriate. And this is the time to really take action, to say, we as citizens have had enough of this crap, that it's time that we put the screws to any country. Right now, it's Israel and the United States. There should be a blockade on the United States. I mean, we're complicit. We're the biggest enabler of this blockade. So I hope the world puts a blockade on us, too.
What about this story in President Biden's State of the Union of building a port to bring in aid?
Oh, for God's sakes. I mean, when I heard that, it was like, oh, for God's sakes, you know, why do this? Not that, I mean, the Israelis have blasted out the one port that was in Gaza City, so something needs to be repaired there, but it has not received any ships, you know, in 40 years, so to speak. So this idea of building a temporary pier that it'll take 60 to 90 days, it's taking 5 ships from here in Virginia sailing over to the Mediterranean, and they're going to build this little portable dock. Well, wouldn't it be just a little bit easier to tell Netanyahu, we're not one more bullet, not one more bomb. We're cutting off diplomatic relations and let that stuff get in there right now, rather than saying, oh, yeah, we'll wait for another 60 to 90 days of the genocide to continue while we build this little dinky port. And some little ships, after they're inspected by the Israelis in Cyprus, for God's sakes. And then those ships that have been inspected now get to travel, and maybe we won't shoot them. But, you know, remember the Central World Kitchen, we did shoot them. So don't be guaranteed that we aren't going to go after you. And what would the U.S. do? No, just like what it's done now. Absolutely nothing.
Well, some of the same people in the United States might make money off building that pier that are making money off the bombs that the Israeli military will use to destroy that pier.
You're right. Yeah, because the contractors, I mean, it's not like U.S. military personnel are the ones that are going to actually put all this stuff together. Every one of those ships that's bringing stuff out, I can guarantee you, have many more contractors making probably $1,000 a day than the military folks on there that are probably making $50 a day. So you're right. This is a big money making scam job yet one more time through the Department of Defense. And I say that with 29 years of experience.
and some quotation marks on defense. Anne Wright, where will you be sailing from to get to Gaza?
Well, we're not really disclosing the actual departure point. As you can imagine, security on this is pretty intense, but we will say from the country of Turkey. And we'll be putting all of this together in just a couple of weeks. And we would appreciate anyone, everyone watching for the press releases that we put out. We'll be getting more and more specific about exactly what's going to happen as we get closer to it. But we have had Israeli operatives that have tried to disable ships before. And we know, you know, the propaganda and all that the Israelis will be doing will be very intense. And it will be reflected back here in the United States as the commercial media, the Congress, and the White House will no doubt just call us terrorists and sympathizers with Hamas and all of this, whereas we are human rights observers on these boats that are going to Gaza to witness what genocide has occurred at the hands of the Israelis and U.S. government.
It is exactly what's needed. It's moral and it's heroic and courageous. And I applaud everyone taking part and supporting. We will put every bit of news we get from you and anyone else on the flotilla up on World Beyond War's website for sure. Anne Wright, we've got just 2 or 3 minutes left. How can people help? How can they support? What should people be doing in the United States and the rest of the world right now?
Well, certainly continue your work with your community action groups that have been so remarkable all over the country. Things that people have done are just, you know, from blocading roads to going after ships to going into town hall meetings to forcing ceasefire resolutions. Come to Congress and every single day, Code Pink has a group that helps organize anywhere from 5 people to 50 people that will show up, some driving all the way from New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, some flying in for one day from California, arriving after a red-eye flight, working all day in the Congress, and then flying home that night because this woman was so furious, so frustrated about what was going on. So being in Congress helps to get rid of a little bit of the frustration, although it's so demoralizing in one way because the majority of the people in this Congress are mean, cruel, and don't care. So that's why we go after them bird dogging to get on record for the history who was ready to genocide a people and who wasn't.
I think it's also useful, as you say, to work at the local level. It's easier to get your city or your town or your county or even your state to pass a resolution that then the good people who are spending the day at the U.S. Congress can hold up this now pile of 100-some cities' resolutions that say, listen to the people, stop listening to the weapons dealers. So it seems that local action can be useful as well, right?
Absolutely, it certainly is, and that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And all of these PM members of Congress have to go back, or they go back to their homes over the weekend. They have quite a lengthy time at home. They usually leave here on Thursday afternoon and don't come back till Monday afternoon. So they only work here in Congress 3 days, and they're back home for 4 days. So it gives you a great opportunity to go after them in the home communities where they should feel the voting pressure on how they are, you know, participating in this genocide.
Anne Wright, I appreciate so much everything you're doing. Is there a website or a way that people should follow up on the story of this flotilla?
Oh, yes. We have usboatstogaza.org is our national campaign for the Gaza flotilla. And then we also have an international website, freedomflotilla.org. And we will be posting all the information about the flotilla, this flotilla, and then we'll have a second one that'll leave in the summertime and take 90 days going through Europe and then finally heading down into the Mediterranean. And we want passengers from the U.S. on each leg of that journey. So that will be on both of those websites.
Wonderful. Anne Wright, thank you for everything. And thanks again for coming on Talk World Radio.
It's a real pleasure, David. Keep up the good work.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org.